right, guys. That was great, huh? That was a blessing. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles and be turning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers have Bibles that you can use this morning. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. You'll find this on page 1254. If you're using one of our Bibles, anybody else need a Bible, just raise your hand up high. And let's go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 5. Anybody else need a Bible? Ephesians chapter 5. Won't you be able to see? It's so good to have each of you with us. Book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, page 1254. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 5. Well, I had a little bit of a heads up that we had a quartet coming our way, and I didn't realize they would sound as good as they sounded, and I didn't know they would sing as good as they sung. And, you know, I just think about that old guy up in Glory Land running around. And I'm thinking, man, when I get to heaven, I won't be able to run around. I'm not running around right now, are you? But that's going to be wonderful, is it not? And it's going to be an exciting time. Well, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. We are currently studying the book of Ephesians. If you're here with us for the first time this morning, we began all the way back in Ephesians chapter 1, making our way through the book. And we've come to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. And as we come to Ephesians chapter 5, it's a brand new chapter, and God is going to speak to us about our walk, our behavior. Now listen to me carefully. He's going to speak to us about our walk and behavior as dear children. As dear children. You know, God views us who know Christ as our Savior as dear children. And He's going to speak to us about our walk, our manner of life, our behavior, how we're to live our life in this world. Give you a little heads up. As we go through this passage this morning, it's not the way the world's living. And it's not the way the world's behaving. And we're going to see that the Lord has some definite words for His dear children on how He expects us to live. Now listen to me. How He expects us to live. Not how the preacher expects us to live. If you leave here today saying, hey, the preacher was talking to us about how we're supposed to live, you've missed the point. We're not dealing with how the preacher wants you to live. We're dealing with how God wants all of us to live. You got that? Including myself. And this is what we're going to look at this morning, because that's where we're at in the book of Ephesians. And if you've got your Bibles open, you're physically able to do so, we'd like to stand for the scripture reading. So go ahead and stand. We'll read the scripture, then I'll pray and let you be seated. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1, notice the Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon the word of God as it goes forth today. I pray that we would be people who would truly receive it indeed as it is, the word of God, and not just be received as the word of a man or the word of a preacher. Father, you are very concerned about your people and how we are to live in this world that we're living in today. And Father, although it's wicked, although it's evil, although there are so many things that are just corrupting in this world, Father, I pray that we would be attentive to the Word of God, that we would listen to the Word of God, that we would live out the Word of God, that we would practice the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you would bring us this morning face to face with the reality of how you expect us to live as your people. And may we profit from it, may we benefit from it, may we leave here this morning, Lord, being better off from having been in your house and under your word I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible teaches that the very moment a person comes to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, at that very moment, that instant in time, you're born into God's family and you become a child of God. What a privilege it is to be able to say, I am God's child. I'm God's son. Or if you're of the female variety, you're God's daughter. You're a child of God. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to John chapter 1. I want you to see a couple of verses with me on this. Over in John chapter 1, to your left, hold your place in Ephesians. We'll always come back to Ephesians. But go with me to John chapter 1, page 1114. 1114. In John chapter 1, it speaks about this issue of becoming a child of God. John chapter 1, if you would please, page 1114. The Gospel of John in John chapter 1. We begin in verse 11. And in John chapter 1, verse 11, it's speaking about historically how Jesus came to the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, but instead of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what verse 11 says. The Bible says, He, Jesus, came unto His own, the Jews, but notice the Bible says, and His own, look at it now, His own what? Received Him what? Not. So you've got the Jewish people, instead of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you come to verse 12, and verse 12 begins with a word of contrast. In verse 12, it says this. It says, but as many as what? Received Him. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you taken the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He has done on the cross of Calvary on your behalf to be your way to heaven? That's what it means to receive Christ. To realize that in God's sight, we're sinners who need a Savior. That we can't get to heaven on our own because God says the wages or the penalty of sin is death. And sin's penalty must be satisfied. And if we don't choose the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross to satisfy that sin debt, guess what? We will die and be eternally separated from God for all of eternity because the wages of sin is death. But thank God Jesus died in our place. Amen? Amen. Thank God that Jesus paid for our debt of sin. Thank God that He was buried and rose again the third day. Jesus has done everything that's needed to get you and I to heaven. The one thing that's left up to us is to accept Him. It's to receive Him. He's done all the work. Praise God for that. We could never do it. But He did do it. And the Bible says, but as many as received Him. Look what the verse says in verse 12. But as many as did what? Received Him. That would take Him to be their Savior. To them. To those who received Christ. Notice the Bible says He gave the power, the authority. And the Bible says there, we've got the authority to become the what? Sons of God, even to them that do what? Believe on His name. So when we come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus' name means God our Savior. So when we believe on Jesus' name, we're believing that He was God who came to this earth to be our Savior. We're receiving Him, accepting the salvation that He brought to us. And the Bible is teaching that the very moment we do that, God says, you're my child. You're my son. Wow. Isn't that exciting? I am a child of God this morning. Are you a child of God this morning? If you can't honestly say, yes, I'm a child of God, my friend, Jesus Christ has done everything that's needed to get you to heaven. The one thing that you must do is to receive Him. And I would urge you to receive Christ. Accept Him. Accept Him. And when you accept Christ, you're born into God's family, you become God's child, and you become very special to God. Very special to God. You see, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 is bringing that out. Go back there with me if you would, please. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1, this chapter begins by challenging those of us who've received the Lord Jesus Christ to be followers of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, be ye therefore followers of who? God. But notice how the expression there, as what? Dear children. You know, the Lord here calls us His own dear children. His dear children. When you become a child of God, you become precious to God. You become very special to God. You become dear to God. This expression, dear children, is the only time that it's found in the Bible. But there is a corresponding phrase or word that God uses often to describe His own that in the Greek language comes from the very same Greek terms. And that is, God calls us not only dear children, He also calls us beloved or beloved of God. Hold your finger here and let's look at a couple of illustrations here in the Bible. Over to your left to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, page 1191. Romans chapter 1, if you would please. And in Romans chapter 1, look at this. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll thrill your heart this morning. If you're here and you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, I want you to understand you're special to God. You're one of His kids. And He holds you very dear to His heart. And you are important to Him. You are precious to God as His child. And in Romans chapter 1, notice if you would please, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, page 1191, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, now look at the expression, beloved of who? Beloved of God. He's speaking not to everybody at Rome, but He's speaking to those who are His children. The verse goes on to say, called to be what? Saints. You see, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you're sanctified in God's sight. You become a saint, and you also are beloved of God. Beloved of God. You hold a very special place in the heart of God. Look over in chapter 12 of the book of Romans. Chapter 12 in the book of Romans. Look with me, if you would please, in Romans chapter 12, in verse 19. Here we find that expression coupled together with the word dearly. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, just look at the first two verses of the words of the verse here. It says, dearly who? Dearly beloved. If God were here this morning and you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He would look at you and He would say, I love you. You're one of my children. You are precious to me. You are special to me. You are dear to me. Dearly beloved. We are loved of God. Do you understand that because you are a child of God, that God has a white stone that when you get to heaven, He's going to give to you one of these days? And the Bible says that in that white stone, there is a name written that no one else knows but the Lord. The only two people who are going to know that name is you and God. What I'm saying is that God has a special name waiting for you when you get to heaven. I don't know what it's going to be. Hope it's going to be better than what my dad called me. My dad used to call me catfish. That's because we went fishing together, and where I grew up, you know what we caught? Catfish and carp. Well, catfish is better than carp, amen? But, you know, the Lord's got a special name. You know, then my dad shortened it to Cat. You know? Cat, all right? That's a great name, isn't it? I don't know what the Lord's going to call you in heaven, but He's got a special name waiting for you. You know what that says to you, says to me? Man, we're really special to Him. We're very important to Him. We are dear to Him. We are dear children. We are beloved of God. Both of those expressions, you see, are terms of endearment that are expressing God's love, His affection, His care for those who He calls His own. It is wrong for us to say that everybody in the world belongs to God. Everybody in the world is God's creation, but only those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are God's own. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, he refers to those who are His own. You see, we belong to God. We are part of His own. We have a special place in the heart of God because we are God's children. Now, I hope that all the adults here in our church love all the children of our church. I would want that as your pastor. I would want you to love all of the children of our church. I want you to love all the children that are children of our church members. I want you all to love all the children that come in on our buses. On the buses, I want you to love all the kids. But when I say that, I also know that your own children have a special place in your heart that the other kids don't. Isn't that true? And why? Because they're your what? You're your children. You know, I can look at Grayson here this morning and say, Grayson, man, I love you, man. As a teenager, that doesn't appeal to him too much. Oh, yeah, pastor said, I love you, man. All right. Yeah, he'd rather box a little bit or punch a little bit. You know, teenagers, right? And it would be true, I do love Grayson. But I do not love Grayson as much as his mother loves Grayson. Why? Because Grayson is his mother's son. You understand that? And so when God calls us dear children, he's saying that you are my children, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are extremely special to me. I think Mrs. Shepler may have written a little chorus to help the children understand that they're special to God. I'm special. Is that not right? Didn't you write something like that? How many of you kids know that song? Come on up and sing it for us, okay? Come on up and sing it for us. And Mrs. Shepler will lead you. You wrote it. You ought to know it. I don't know it. Come on up. All you kids that know the song, come on up. Quickly. That's okay. That's all right. Just go ahead. Sing it. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Shepler. Come right over here, Caleb. Quickly, Ms. Shepler. Let's go. How's it start? I don't know. Good. All right. That's very good. That's very good for not being having any advance warning, is it not? Huh? I want you to grab hold of the idea this morning that if you're a child of God, you're special to God. You are special to God. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, because we hold this special position with God, because we are God's dear children." The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, we are to be followers of God. The word followers in that verse means imitators. Imitators. We get our English word mimic from the Greek word from which this is translated. You know what a mimic is? Children are good at mimicking. A number of years ago, we were here one Saturday morning and I was in the front Sunday school room doing something. There was one of our men outside doing some work around the church. I guess we were having a work day. And he happened to be a big guy. He's gone home to be in heaven now. But he was a really big guy. He was the kind of guy that when he came through the doors back there, you almost want to say before he came in, duck. I mean, he was that tall, you know. He could clear it, but just barely. And he was outside doing something. And, you know, big guy like that, he was, you know, big strides, you know what I'm saying? Because he was just a big guy. And I noticed out the window that one of his little boys was walking in his dad's steps. And he was out here doing this. What was he doing? He was mimicking or imitating his dad. God says, you're my children. I want you to imitate me. I want you to imitate me. You say, how are we going to imitate God? Well, I'll give you three ways we're to imitate God. First of all, once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, or after we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God wants us to begin to embrace what we call godliness. You ever heard that word? Godliness? You know, sometimes people will refer to someone as being a godly what? Person. Take your Bibles and look over in 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is over to your right, page 1312. The book of 2 Peter, God wants us to be imitators. We're His dear children. We are to be mimicking Him. We are to be imitating Him. And one way in which we should imitate God is that we should begin to embrace a godliness about our lives, a God-likeness. You see, a godly person is a person that begins to give you an image of God, of what God is like. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, notice the scripture tells us this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 5, the Bible says this, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your" what? "Faith." Now, faith is how we get into the family of God. We get in the family of God by believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him as our Savior. And now the Bible says, once you're a person of faith, add to that faith. And notice God says, add to your faith, first of all, virtue. Then He says to virtue, knowledge. In verse 6, He says to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And then the patience, look what He says there in verse 6. What are we to add?
Godliness.
Be ye imitators of God. Be ye followers of God. Learn to be godly. Learn to be godlike. Godlike. Godly individuals are godlike individuals. Not only should we learn to be godly, we should also embrace a life of holiness. Take your Bibles and turn with me to your left. 1 Peter, not 2 Peter, but 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, we're to imitate our dad. What's that little kid doing when he's out here taking these big strides? He's imitating who? Dad. Well, we've got a Heavenly Father. Who are we to imitate? We're to imitate Him. So we begin to embrace a lifestyle of godliness. We begin to embrace a lifestyle of holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look what the Bible says. In verse 14, as obedient children, not fasting yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you, verse 15, He which you hath called you, which is God, He is what? Holy. Look what the Scripture says. So be ye what? Holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation there would be talking about your behavior, your manner of life. And then it goes on to say, because it is written, be what? Holy, for I am. So here I am as a dear child of God. I'm special to God. I'm to begin to imitate my Heavenly Father. I'm to begin to walk in His steps. That means I need to put holiness on in my life. That means I need to put godliness on in my life. Be followers of God as dear children. Do you understand that there was a church in the book of Acts that was located in the city of Antioch? And the believers at the church at Antioch held a very distinct honor about them. It was the first place that believers were ever called Christians. It says in Acts chapter 11, the believers were called Christians first at Antioch. And do you know why they were called Christians first at Antioch? The idea of Christian means little Christ. It's because when people looked at the lives of those believers at Antioch, what did they see? They saw them following the Lord Jesus. They saw them imitating their Savior. They saw them doing what Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 is telling us to do in 2013. Be followers of God as dear children. Put on godliness. Put on holiness in our lives. You know, thinking about our theme verse, putting on God. What are we going to do? Put on who? Christ. Remember Romans chapter 13, verse 14? Look up here and let's say it together. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, if I'm going to imitate God, I've got to learn to put on Christ. I've got to get up in the morning and say, today is a new day, and I want to walk with the Lord, and I want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this day. I want Christ to shine forth in my life and through my life. I want to be a resemblance of my Heavenly Father. As dear children, be followers of God. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Because not only does the Lord tell us to be followers of His as dear children, verse 2 goes on to give us the next piece of instruction. The next piece of instruction that God is giving to those who are His own, those who belong to Him. Not only are we to be followers of God, imitating God, but in verse 2 it says, and next we are to walk in what? Love. And notice it describes this love for us. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So here the Bible says, not only are we to be imitating God, the Bible also says we're to be walking in love as Christ also loved us. And you think about this love that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us and gave His life, the Scripture says here, gave Himself as an offering and a what? sacrifice to God. Do you see that expression? Read it with me. An offering and sacrifice to God. He literally gave his life as an offering to the Father. He gave his life as sacrifice to the Father. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Stop and think about that for a moment. Where would we be without the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? To borrow a phrase from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, we would be of all men most miserable. Because if there is no Jesus who gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God, we would have no way to reach God. We would have no way of salvation. We would have no hope of ever getting to heaven. We would be of all men most what? Miserable. But God gave himself, Christ gave himself as an offering, as a sacrifice to God. And the Bible says that that was a sweet-smelling savor. Sweet-smelling savor. It's like someone who walks into a room and they've got a really nice-smelling perfume on. And you say, wow, that smells good. That smells good. Well, when Christ gave himself in sacrifice and offering for us, God the Father up in heaven said, that's a sweet-smelling aroma. That's a sacrifice that I'm well pleased with. That's something that is bringing joy to my heart and delight to my soul. Without that sacrifice, we would be of all men most miserable because we'd have no way of salvation. But the point of the verse here is this. We now are to walk in the same kind of love. Why did Jesus Christ make that suffering sacrifice? Why did he give himself as an offering? Because he what? Loved us. And now the Bible says we are to walk in that same love. And you stop and think about that. Walking in the same kind of love with Jesus Christ had. He gave himself as a sacrifice to God for others. And if you and I are going to walk in love as Christ did, we must learn to give our lives in sacrifice for the good of others. You know, we're living in a pretty selfish world. Everybody seems to be stuck on themselves. And from young age, we've been taught, watch out for yourself. Watch out for yourself. If you don't watch out for yourself, nobody else is going to do it. And we've just been taught all of our lives to be selfish and to be self-centered. God in His Word teaches us to think about others, and to think about the good of others, and to give our lives and sacrifice to God for the good of others. Take your Bibles and turn just briefly over to your right, not too far, the book of Philippians, just a couple of pages, three or four pages over to your right, the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, look in verses 3 and 4. In the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem, what's the word? Other better than who? Themselves. Where's that being done? Where is that being done? I just want to know. Where's it being done? You esteem others better than yourself. I don't find that very much. What I find is people esteeming themselves above everybody else. Me first. And yet the Lord is saying, hey, listen, we're to walk in love. Same kind of love Christ had. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about others. In fact, he was so concerned he's willing to sacrifice himself for others. And now the Bible is saying God's people need to embrace that same type of attitude. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own what? Things. But every man also on the things of? That means give yourself in sacrifice to God for the good of others. Think about others. Think about how you can be a blessing to others. Think about how you can be a help to others. Think about carrying the gospel message to those who are out in the world who need it. Think about others. You know, God would not be hurt one bit if every member of Victory Bible Baptist Church would become a Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 Christian. Do you understand that? God wouldn't be upset one bit. What's he say there? Let's go take a look at it. Romans chapter 12, page 1006. Others. Think about others. One of our hymn writers wrote the words, "Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my model be. Help me to live for others that I might live like thee." Romans chapter 12, page 1206. And in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." The word beseech is a word of pleading. I beg with you, brethren, those of us who know Christ as Savior, by the mercies of God, in light of what Christ has done for us. Notice the Bible says that you present your what? Bodies. That's okay for the other guy. Better listen to the preacher now. He's talking about you. Not talking about me. Talking about you. God says, "Hey, I beseech you, brethren, are you a saved child of God? Because of the mercies of God, of what Christ has done in your life, hey, listen, I want you to present your what? Body. I want it to be a living what? Sacrifice. I want it to be holy. I want it to be acceptable unto me. It is your reasonable what? Service." God's saying, "I'm not asking too much. I'm not asking too much for you to take your life and walk in love as Christ also loved. Give yourself as an offering. Give yourself as a sacrifice to God for the good of others." Others. Others. You know, when you love others the way God wants us to love others, you treat them right. And in Romans chapter 13, just across the page there, in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love" who? "One another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any of the commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 10 says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the" what? "Fulfilling of the" what? "Law." Embrace a love where you live for others, where you treat others the way God wants them to be treated. Now let's go back to the book of Ephesians, if you would please. We continue to move through our text. God says in verse 1, we're to be followers of Him. We're to be imitators of Him. Verse 2, He says, we're to walk in love as Christ also had loved us. When you get down to verses 3 and 4, we move into the realm of some things that should not even be named even once among the people of God. I'm not saying that they aren't named among God's people. I'm just saying that the Bible teaches these are things that should not be a part of our lifestyle. These are things that are not to be part of us. It's not becoming of a person who belongs to the Lord, who is a dear child of God. Notice what verses 3 and 4 say. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be, look at it now, let it not be what? Once named among you as becometh what? Saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of what? Thanks. Wow. That's embracing a different way of life. Isn't it? That's pulling the plug on the American way of life today. That's blocking a lot of the entertainment of the world, because that's all it feeds. It feeds fornication. It feeds uncleanness. It feeds covetousness. And God is speaking to His people. God's speaking to His dear children. You're special to God. You're precious to God. God cares about you. And He says, here's some things that I don't even want to be named among my people. Not even once. That doesn't mean they aren't. But that's not God's intent. God's intent for His people is purity and cleanness and holiness and righteousness. You know, fornication is a word that as it's used here in this verse, that reflects all kinds of immorality, whether it be premarital immorality, whether it be extramarital immorality, whether it be immorality having nothing to do with marital at all. God says that fornication shouldn't even be named among His people, among His children. God has one word of instruction if you're going to keep yourself pure. If you're going to keep yourself clean, God says, I've got one word for you. And here it is. Flee. Flee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. That's what God says. Means that we can't flirt with it. We can't gravitate toward it. We can't play around with it. God says if we're going to keep our lives pure, if we're going to keep our lives clean, if we're going to keep ourselves in the posture that He wants us to be in, not even once named among God's people, then we've got to be people who take an aggressive position in life and say, I'm fleeing that stuff. That's fire. And I don't want to get burnt. I want to please God. I want to honor God. God says this deal with fornication, and by the way, I think you adults understand that our world is seething in a cesspool today. I mean, you know, we are just smothering society, I'm talking about, in this thought of fornication and uncleanness. Uncleanness would just entail all kinds and forms of filthiness of the flesh. How many of you agree with me this morning? We're living in a filthy world. Amen. Agree with that? It's pretty filthy, isn't it? It really is. And so therefore, if you're going to keep yourself clean, what do you got to do? You got to flee. Got to guard your heart. Got to guard your mind. You got to keep from not allow the trash to come into your life. The trash, it's all around you. It's there on the television. It's there in the magazines. It's there in the books. It's there in the internet. It's there in the theater. It's just about everywhere you go, is it not? See, about everywhere you go in this world, it's just trashy stuff. And yet the Lord says that all uncleanness, every bit of it, guys, are you listening to me? It's not even to be named among you. It's not even to be talked about. It's not to be joked about in the locker room. It's not to be listened to when other guys are talking about it. It's not to be thought about or dwelt upon or dreamed upon. Book of Proverbs. Look over in Book of Proverbs, if you would please. In Proverbs chapter 4, 674, if you need the page number. Book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. God wants His children, His dear children, to keep themselves clean and keep themselves pure and keep themselves right. And the book of Philippians, or not Philippians, but Proverbs, the book of Proverbs says this word of instruction to us. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all what? Diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Listen, if you're going to keep your life pure, you've got to have a diligent aggression. To guard your life, to guard your heart, to guard your mind, to keep it with all diligence. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look, get it now, look how? Right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy what? Feet. And let all thy ways be what? Established. Turn not from the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot. The Bible says, remove your foot from what? Evil. If we're going to keep ourselves pure, if we're going to keep ourselves clean, we've got to take this removing aspect and guarding our hearts and guarding our lives. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, the Lord says, hey, let's take this issue of fornication. Let's put it out of our lives. Let's take all this uncleanness. Let's put it out of our lives. Let's take this covetousness. And let's don't even let it be named once among you. Contextually, meaning that in the context of how the word is being used, covetousness there would be a grasping after, a longing desire, an uncontrolled appetite for the wrong things in life. It's out there. It's clamoring for your attention. It wants you, but you're a dear child of God. And as dear child of God, this isn't supposed to be named among us. Verse 4 goes on to focus upon what comes out of the mouth of a believer as a dear child of God. And in verse 4 it says, neither, look at it now, neither what? Filthiness. That's talking filthy. And it goes on to say, foolish what? Talking about things foolishly that you should not talk about, glamorizing the very things that put people's lives in the gutter. That's foolish talking. And notice what it goes on to say, jesting, which are not convenient. Jesting means joking. And joking and making light of things that God says they're not right. When it says they're not convenient, it means it's not fitting, it's not proper for God's people. There's certain things we should think on and certain things that we should not think on. Hold your finger here and look over, if you would please, in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, look what the Bible says. Page 607, if you're using one of our Bibles, the book of Psalm and Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, look down in verse 14. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, let the words of my what? Mouth and the meditation of my what? Heart. The words of my mouth is the things I say. The meditation of my heart are the things I think on. And the verse here says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my what? You know, every Christian would do well to take that verse and write it out on a 3x5 card and keep it up before them. Lord, I want the words of my mouth. I want what comes out of my mouth. I want the meditation of my heart, the things that I think on throughout the day. I want it to be acceptable in your sight. You're my Father, I'm your child. I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be honoring to you. I want to bring glory to you. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5, let's see what God says here. In Ephesians chapter 5, God says, hey, we're to be imitators of Him as dear children. We are to walk in love. There are certain things we ought not to even allow in our lives. And He goes on in verse 5, and He makes a poignant point here in verse 5. He leaves no doubt. He leaves no confusion concerning His view of the immoral. In verse 5, He says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who's an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What's God saying? He's saying, those aren't my people. They're lost. They're unsaved. Their action, their lifestyle, their behavior is not a reflection of people who know the Lord. Now, when the Bible says that, that doesn't mean that they cannot be saved. We're glad that God's a God of grace, are we not? We're glad God's a God of mercy. We're glad that God is a God who is what? Forgiving. But the point that God is making here is simply this. He's saying, my children need a different lifestyle than the lifestyle of those who do not know me. That's what He's saying. A different lifestyle from those who do not know me. And in verse 6, when He comes to verse 6, it is an admonition that is greatly needed for the age in which we're now living. Look what verse says. Let no man do what? Deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Listen, don't let your life be deceived by anyone who will try to convince you that as a child of God, it doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter what you do, It doesn't matter what you think on. It doesn't matter the actions you take in life. Don't be deceived. It matters. That's what God's saying. It matters. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. You know, Satan wants to come along and say, well, you know, we can do this and nobody will know. You ever had that struggle?
Right.
Yeah? Nobody will know. And or it's okay. It's okay when it really isn't. Or everybody deserves a little pleasure. Everybody deserves a little fun in life. Or others are doing it. Why can't I? Et cetera, et cetera. And the Lord says, don't be deceived. Don't let anybody deceive you. That this is acceptable behavior. That it's okay. The day's coming when I'm going to judge the children of disobedience. I am going to judge the unsaved. They're not going to get away with their sin. You think they're having a great heyday? You think that they've got something that you don't have? You think that their lives are filled with pleasure and joy and excitement, etc., etc.? Understand the end result. The end result is judgment's coming for them. Judgment's coming for them. And God says in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. God's people don't need to be running with the devil's people. God's children need to be living like God's children, not like the devil's children.
Amen.
That's the point he's making. That's what he's saying. He goes on in verse 8 and he says, for ye were sometimes darkness. I understand that you did some of those things back before you were saved. I understand that. That's what he's saying. But now are ye what? Light in the Lord. And how are we to walk? As children of what? Light. You know, many today believe that morals are a matter of the culture in which we're living. That's how they establish their morality. Whatever culture is doing, then it becomes culturally acceptable. If culture accepts premarital relationships, then they say, well, we ought to accept them because that's what, I mean, culture says it's okay. If culture accepts extramarital relationships, well, we ought to accept them because that's what culture says is okay. If the culture accepts gay relationships, well, then, you know, as being okay, then we ought to accept them because that's what the culture says. The problem is that it's not what God says. And God calls it fornication and adultery and perversion. And he's calling out to all of his children who are so special to him, whom he loves so very much, and saying, I got a better way of living for you. I got a better way of living for you. You see, he brings that out in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all what? Goodness. And what? Righteousness. And what? Truth. You see, God's way of living for his children is so much better than the world's way of living. So much better than what the devil has to offer to any of us.
Amen.
And so we're being challenged in Ephesians chapter 5 to be imitators of God, to be reflecting of his character, to embrace holiness, to embrace godliness, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make provision for our what? Our flesh. Because if we make provision for our flesh, we're going to head up down a wrong road in life. You see, well, as a believer, God's a forgiving God. Yes, but as a believer, you can dishonor the name of God. You can ruin your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can wreck your life. And you can wreck others' lives. And you can bring piles and piles of misery upon your life. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? And when we put good things in our life, we reap good things from it. And when we put wrong things in our life, we reap wrong things from it. The challenge for us this morning is be followers of God as dear children, imitators of God. Let's bow together in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be someone here this morning that's never received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you're here today and you've never accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, trusting in Him and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary to be your way to heaven, I would urge you to receive Christ. You can do that while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Christians are praying. You can quietly talk to God and just tell Him while you're sitting here this morning. You don't have to say anything out loud. God, I've never accepted Your Son, Jesus, to be my Savior, to save me from my sin and bring me into Your family. But this morning I saw from the Bible that if I would receive Him, I would become Your child. And I want you to know right here this morning, Lord, the best I know how, I'm taking the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross of Calvary to be my way to heaven. I'm accepting Him to be my Savior. Would you do that if you've never done that before? Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just talk to God and just tell Him, here this morning, I'm receiving the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. If you're doing that, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you for it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you in a moment, slip your hand up, slip it down so I can pray for you. Raising your hand is not what gets you to heaven. It's accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you just told God that you were receiving His Son and what He did on the cross of Calvary to be your way to heaven, and you say, Pastor, pray for me. I did that this morning. I want you to know that. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Would you just quietly slip your hand up, slip it down so I can pray for you? Anyone at all? I hope everyone here this morning has already received Christ. And if you have, you are a dear child of God. And I pray that the admonitions that we've seen in the Word of God would be real in your life. To say, hey, I'm special to God. I'm His child. God wants me to be an imitator of Him. There's certain things that's going on in this world. Boy, they can wreck and ruin my life in a heartbeat. I don't want to be partakers with them. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I pray that you'll resolve by God's grace and with God's help to live a life of purity. Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for the Word of God and for the instruction that You give us from it. And Lord, although we face great temptation in the world that we're living in today and great pressure from our peers, Lord, help us to understand that You're our Father and pleasing You is all important. Lord, help us to walk as a follower of You as dear children. Help us in that, I pray, in Jesus' name.